confirmed by the apostolic witness as to what is going on. Now, one of the powerful things here about the apostolic presence is that Peter and John were sent. Now, the apostles tended to send two anyway. That's always good. It should be a practice that's even still done in our day and age in Presbyterianism. One presbyter should never just show up at a church and say, this is how we're going to do things. We decided at the presbytery. Well, where's the witness to this? There should always be a witness. But Luke here is tying together something that was left hanging from Luke chapter 9. We read, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is obviously speaking of Christ. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, you got to love these guys. They said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Oh, to have the confidence of the disciples. All right. Not a problem, Jesus. Motel 6 did not leave the light on for you. We'll just burn the place down. Tom Baudet can stick it in his ear. One of those same guys who had the opinion of the Samaritans that all they were good for was to call fire down and have them consumed, shows up on the scene to stand in testimony of the work of the Spirit of God in these people as God is drawing them to himself. Now, I know it's not this way today, but back then, I think sometimes it was easy to get an impression about a person or a certain kind of people and think they are beyond the reach of grace. And to have that opinion stick with them longer than... Again, I know it's not that way today. We are always more than willing to give everyone yet another chance to hear the gospel and to receive the generous mercy of New Life Presbyterian Church. But back then, I think it could have been an issue. Well, why would we be spending this time on mission in Samaria? Remember how they treated our Lord? They wouldn't show hospitality because he was passing through to Jerusalem. And yet, here comes John to lay his hands on and pray for and watch the Spirit fall upon these people who had rejected Christ, now receiving him, now being redeemed by him, being saved from their sins. What a beautiful picture of the ongoing redemption that we need when we have become stingy with Jesus. And we start to determine who deserves and doesn't deserve the grace of Christ. John was put in that position to eat his words. And ironically, he saw fire fall from heaven upon the Samaritans and consume them, but it wasn't quite like he had imagined. It was the fire of heaven in the Holy Spirit as their hearts were consumed by the grace of Jesus. Next, we come to a question of plurality or superiority. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he had an idea. Scripture doesn't say that, but a light bulb went off. An oil lamp went off. Wait a minute. This whole Jesus thing, I could add to my arsenal of magical skills. I bet if I pay the apostles, they'll be more than happy to transfer some rights over to me so then I can lay hands on people. And I might even get some of my following back. Jesus is not a value add. Jesus is not a plus one. He's not ever an addition to. Jesus is the all and only. And the apostles were not going to have it. This condemnation comes immediately from them, based on Simon's clear perspective, his resulting actions, and his attitude about the whole thing. Your heart is not right before God. Repent. Now, this is something that as we read it now, we're like, well, yeah. Simon thought he could just have the rights to whatever he wanted without really having that heart change that is required. Is that, amen? I mean, and that's not right. The apostles were right to condemn him and to draw that line. Amen? Amen. I want to remind you that Simon had made a profession of faith and been baptized. And when it was exposed that his heart was not in the right place, his heart was not being changed by the gospel, his profession of faith and baptism did not guarantee him the rights to whatever he thought he had the right to in the kingdom of God. And it was the job of the ones called to shepherd in that moment to confront and call to repentance. Do you see what I'm saying? It sounded a whole lot better when I was standing up here. Right? It's not quite so comfortable when I'm standing down here. But this is the ongoing work of gospel ministry in the church. The constant call to repentance. The constant call to the one and only Jesus. Is Jesus your plus one? Or is he your all and only? Is he the value add to whatever you have going on? Perhaps even whatever you have going on is rebellious. Perhaps it's not rebellious, but it's just not meaningful and significant. But if I come down to New Life at 9:30 on Sunday morning and I sit through that bald man's rantings and I get myself a little bit of King's Hawaiian and a little bit of Two Buck Chuck, everything's going to be okay. I'll be all right in the end. And it's not comfortable. It's not the top of my list of things I like to do. But it's my job to call you to examine your heart. And ask yourself, am I really with Jesus? Or am I expecting Jesus to tag along and bless and approve whatever I'm doing because I give him that hour and a half every Sunday morning? Or every other Sunday morning because, you know, sometimes better things come up to do. How does this text end? It ends with more preaching to the Samaritans. I love the apostles because they're never happy. They're never satisfied. They're constantly looking for more fields to harvest. Now, whether this was Corna or whatever city that is supposed as being referenced here, as the apostles made their way back to Jerusalem, not like, well, that was amazing, that was good, we had a crusade in that city, let's get back to Jerusalem, get back to the apostolic work that we have to do. No, they stopped off in each village and town, and they preached Christ. They kept going. They were never satisfied. It was never us four, no more, lock the door. We have enough. They were always looking to see where else the gospel could go, where else it was needed. Even in the little villages of that rebellious, fire-deserving place called Samaria. They kept preaching to the Samaritans. Preaching the gospel to many villages. And friends, this entire text can be ported into our day and time. At a time like none other, our culture is dabbling in the mystical and magical. A lot of things of paganism are seeping back in to the culture, even into the church. And people see Jesus as that thing that you need, kind of like a magical crystal to just help the business work better, help the bank account get a little larger. Just if I just add Jesus to this, I can do a little bit better on my own. Thank you very much. And what we see is a people that are probably deserving of having the fire of heaven come down and consume them, but we ought to be praying for and working for the fire of the Holy Spirit to come down and consume their hearts. And we ought not to relent, we ought not to give up, we ought to keep praying and working for just such an end. Amen? Stand with me as we pray. Father, thank you for the ongoing power and presence of your Holy Spirit in the life of the church. It calls us to examine ourselves week in, week out, day in, day out. It calls us to continual conforming to the image of Christ that fills us and empowers us to even desire such a thing and to labor toward that end. Father, grant faith, grant repentance in this place, in your house, as we consider these things this morning. Father, when we are tempted to just want to call down fire on Sacramento or on City Hall in San Diego, help us, Lord, to pray for and long for and work for the fire of the Holy Spirit to fall on our land, that Christ may be glorified, the church may be enlarged, and the glory of the gospel be spread. Father, give us this vision this vision of being a gospel community, joyfully loving you and all around us through these gracious means, through generous mercy, and through global mission. We pray in Christ's name. And church, let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.